Tonight, we're going to be talking about the topic of refreshing. And it's kind of interesting because a few weeks ago, the Lord actually, he was encouraging me to send a text to a saint. And it's almost like he prompted me, just ask for a refreshing from me. I was like, that's a good one, especially from him, of course. Just going through a little bit of a time. And you know, the Lord, again, is always so sweet to just deliver exactly what we need. So anyway, I just started thinking about it, and then I started going through and kind of studying, like, refreshing from the Lord. And what is that all about? Because we can all think about, probably have a general sense of, like, what refreshing is. It's like a reinvigorating, a reviving, different things like that. And true, in the Word of God, it is that, but it's so much more than just that. And again, you think about some of these times, a lot of times you need a refreshing from something that's maybe been difficult, perhaps. You need a refreshing while you're going through something difficult. And again, just going back to Romans 8:28, just such a foundational scripture about, in all things, he's working it for your good and for your and his mutual glory, actually, also. So we'll pick things up, start tonight, and let's go over to Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. And this is Peter, his second sermon. And this is just one little verse out of that here. Acts 3:19. He says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And how amazing, because I know when the Lord spoke to me, is refreshing from him. And of course, he is the great eternal refresher. Sometimes you can think of certain things here that might refresh you, but nothing does like Jesus, not even close. And so you just think about that, and they're noted here as times of refreshing. So there's more than one. And I know we can all definitely in our lives say the Lord has provided a refreshing far more than just one time. But their times are refreshing, and they come from the presence of the Lord. And I love that because I was thinking about how even in the normal Wednesday night study on purpose, Pastor's been talking about the showbread. The showbread, and you remember back from the tabernacle study, this was the bread of his presence. It was him. And how wonderful, how refreshing that is. And of course, that was bread, was actually physically eaten, which a lot of times you need food and water to refresh you. If you go very long without natural food and water, it becomes not a good thing pretty quickly. So there's that natural, but how much more so as we feed on him in light of eternity, in light of all we've been called to? Absolutely amazing. So we can also think here, if you want to make a note, Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, in thy presence is fullness of joy." Wow. "At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore." You know, when you turn and look at Jesus, that's fullness of joy. Just exuberant joy. A lot of times, "at thy right hand." Well, Jesus is at the right hand of his Father right now, waiting until his Father says, "Go get your bride." Then we'll rule and reign with him side by side. Well, there are pleasures forevermore. That will just be a day that will never end. It's an eternal day where we'll enjoy pleasures with him, not just for a season, but forever. Hallelujah. Now, when we think about this word refreshing, in Acts 3:19, it's a feminine noun in the Greek. It's a weird word, kind of hard to pronounce, but it only occurs in this verse. And I'm always captivated by words that only occur once because they're just very special. They're unique almost in a way. But it means a cooling relief, specifically. Cooling relief. So when you think about it, in life, we have a lot of hot, fiery trials. Lots of them, often. They're hot, they're pressing. We know this is how God works. The diamond is formed by pressure and heat. You can think of a lot of different analogies to the work of heat and pressure in different ways. even upon natural elements. But these trials, they're hot, and they're difficult a lot of times. But then we have this refreshing from him, which is a cooling relief. And I always like to think, when I was reading through that, I was thinking back when I was growing up. I grew up in pretty much in a cornfield in Iowa, in the southwest corner of Iowa. We lived on about 180 acres. 4 acres of that was our lawn. 4 acres is quite a bit of grass. Grass grows very fast in Iowa because it rains like every other day. Unlike out here, I don't know how long it's been since we've had any precipitation out here. But back there, it rains a lot. Grass grows very fast. And our family, we mowed the lawn probably a couple of times a week. 4 acres, even on a riding lawnmower, takes a while. It's a ways. And I remember my dad, he wanted me to mow in third gear, because fourth gear wouldn't cut the grass quite right. So sometimes when he wasn't looking, I'd be like, fourth gear. Like, we're going to just knock this out, get it done. He would always know when I did it, and he wasn't super happy about it. But anyway, thinking about that, usually that was during the day, and you'd be hot after that. You're out in the sun for several hours mowing. And I remember my dad and I, my mom would always have like lemonade or iced tea or something very cool and refreshing. Best experience ever. So you think about how even in the natural, you can think of times when there was a cooling relief for something in your life. But again, when we compare that to the spiritual, to the relief that Jesus can give us, just being in his presence can't even be compared. But I just remember how, you know, like I say, it was a huge cooling relief to me, and I was very, very thankful for it. Now, that word that means a cooling relief is very close to another Greek verb that means to cool off, recover from heat, to refresh one's spirit, and to recover breath. And this word only occurs in 2 Timothy 1:16. So we have another one here that is just a one occurrence. So we can go over to 2 Timothy 1, 16. Now this is Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy. This is about Onesiphorus. Says, the Lord give mercy unto the house or family of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. So this is a very sweet thing, because you think about this. This precious brother, again, helped to recover from heat, from trials, to recover breath. And I thought that's very interesting, because a lot of times too, when you're exerting yourself, like exercise, or different things, you can catch your, I mean, you'll come out of breath. That's a difficulty in a lot of ways. It's good to recover your breath. And I'm thinking about, again, how sweet this is. That name Onesiphorus means profitable one. And I love that, because when you think about it, when you give a saint a cup of cold water, that's profitable unto the Lord, actually. It's profitable between the saints, sure, but it's a cup of cold water. Because it's a relief, it's a cooling, it's something that refreshes a brother or sister, right? And a lot, oftentimes, well, that's the word. You give someone the word when you give them a cup of cold water, and it's refreshing. They can take it in and say, oh, that was so good, I needed that. Thank the Lord. So he's so good to us, just so, so good. My goodness. So then, to go on thinking of this relief from heat, recovering of breath, we remember how David wrote, if you want to go over to Psalm 42, 1. This doesn't specifically have the word refreshing in it, but David, if you ever think of a saint that needed a lot of refreshing from the Lord, there, David's a good one. He says, as the heart panteth after the water brooks, so my heart panteth after thee, O God. So there's a longing there. That panting is a longing and a desire. And a lot of times, longing and desire can wear you out too. You can think of things in the natural with your spouse, with ones that you love very much. But again, with the Lord Jesus, you know, does the heart not pant after him, earnestly long for and desire him? Because he does us. He definitely does. And I know our hearts, they desire him. And that can, again, you think about how sometimes you're breathless with anticipation. You're just so excited. It's almost like, oh my gosh, I can't even breathe. Wonderful. Wonderful. And that's how we are when we think about his soon coming. Could be tonight. I always hope it is. I love you all, but I'd love to be with you all up there. And him. Because we're one in him, true. But what a glorious day that will be. And again, it could be today. I always say, Lord, it could be today. He knows that. It could be. We don't know if it will be. But it's not an if. It's just a when. Hallelujah. So thankful. The Holy Spirit is that one that gives us that breath. You know, and sometimes you say, well, I got a second breath. I got a second wind. There's no end to the endless breaths that Holy Spirit can breathe into your life. When you need it, he invigorates you. He quickens your word and quickens your heart to this word. And that's why, like I say, it's like even going into the study of this little word, refresh or refreshing and all, I had no idea. It was like a whole vault just opened up. And I was like, wow. And I'm sure we're only barely scratching the surface here tonight, barely. But I'm thankful for whatever he gives us. And I always hope that, you know, this study will encourage your heart. Maybe look into some more things. He could have some personal things just for you. I'm pretty confident, actually, if you look into things, he will, for sure. Now, this refreshing by recovering breath. Let's go back to Exodus. Exodus 31. So going back to the time of Moses, the children of Israel in the desert. Desert's a nice, hot, dry place that you need some refreshing. Exodus 31. I've got 15. All right, here we go. And this is actually up in verse 12. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. Then going down to 14, it says, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest. Holy to the Lord, whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Now remember, this was under the law. Wherefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. So again, this is like a recovering of breath is kind of the theme of this. Now we know that number 7 is spiritual perfection. We know 6 is the number of man. But you think about how wonderful that is, because once we get past the number of man, there's rest and refreshment. Hallelujah. So thankful. And that's a promise from God. This is way back here, but it's going forward. We can see this dispensationally too. That seventh day, that 1,000 years, that's a millennial reign. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now I think about this. In verse 17, God himself rested and was refreshed on the seventh day. Isn't that wonderful? If you want to make a note here, the first 11 verses of Hebrews chapter 4 tells us of the rest that we're supposed to have. There's rest in the Lord. Now we'll remember in Hebrews 2, that chapter 4 talks about why the children of Israel wandered around that desert for 40 years. They're probably not very restful. They're always moving around and everything. Unbelief. So the beautiful thing is, the more we just believe the Lord and trust him for things, the more rest. You know? And you think about, little ones squirmy, all over the place, trying to get out, but as you grow up, you just learn to just sit still and just let him do his work. And it's wonderful because, again, there's rest there. There's peace. There's quiet. You recover your breath. All of this, you can see how this tracks in so many different ways in the Word of God. So wonderful. So by recovering breath, you think about the expanding wineskin. And you think, how can it keep expanding? That's a lot of times like your heart. sometimes you take in the word and you're like, wow, this is really, really full. And then the Lord gives you some more. And you're like, wow, this is even more. You think, how can I do this? Well, and again, it's not you doing it. It's just the Lord working in you to will and do of his good pleasure, which is to just keep filling you up with the word all the time. And it's wonderful because, again, if you're all exerted and out of breath and all that, it's going to be a lot of difficulty there. But when you just relax and let him pour into you, that wine skin can just keep expanding and expanding and expanding. And it's not effort at all. It's just his grace and his mercy and just everything that he is, more than conquerors in Christ. That's what we are. And you think, well, a conqueror is a conqueror. They conquer. They're victorious. How can you be more than that? Well, everything is more with Christ. You can never exhaust it. You could never end it. It just keeps going and going and going forever. And again, that's why, you know, you think about it'll take, it's in the ages to come that he'll show forth the exceeding riches of his grace. And ages, forever. So much to look forward to in that. That's our future with him. Just continuing to see how grace just unfolds and unfolds and unfolds forever. Can't even imagine. Can't even imagine. All right, so now let's go over to Job. This was an interesting one. Job 32 in verse 20. And this is actually Elihu. And he's addressing Job and the others. This is pretty far into the book of Job. And Job 32:20, Elihu says, I will speak that I may be refreshed. I will open my lips and answer. Now again, this is thinking about to this heart expanding again. I will speak that I may be refreshed. Well, if you're speaking the word of God, that is actually a refreshment to you. It is to others too that will receive it. But you see how everything's mutual that way too. How many times, you know, do you think, well, maybe you went to do something for someone, but how much did you receive of that in yourself? You're like, wow, that blessing was totally for me. It probably blessed the other person too. But a lot of times God has so much for it for you yourself also. And you think about this, when we speak the words of Jesus and speak the word of God amongst ourselves, that's a refreshing. Absolutely. The word of God is meant to refresh and revive us, encourage, exhort, edify, all of those things. That's what it does, and that's how it's profitable to us. We know from 2 Timothy 3:16, you all know this one, all scripture is given by inspiration. That inspiration is like to breathe in something. It's literally what that word means. All scripture, it's to be breathed in, to be taken into yourself, to receive it. Okay? Inspiration of God. So it's by God. That it is all profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's the work of the Word of God in your life. It's a perfecter. It's what perfects you. So God, again, breathes his word into us. And so we inhale it. But when you think about how you breathe, you inhale and then you exhale. There's like two parts to breathing. And I'm sure Sister Vicki Moots could probably go into a lot with that. But just simple on the surface. So you inhale, you take in the word of God, but then you exhale it and you give it out. It's like the word says, don't hide your light under a bushel. Why would you have a light and go put a cover over it? You wouldn't. But the same thing, we take in this word of God, then we exhale it, we breathe it out, we share it with others. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. And you think about how much does the world need the light of Jesus today, the word going forth. This world is ever darkening, and we all know that. It is dark. But, you know, you think about how the darker it is, the more contrast and the more beautiful a light is, too. That contrast is so beautiful. So, again, the word of God can just shine even brighter, in a sense, when it's so dark. It's wonderful. And again, that light dispels the dark, because light and dark can't coexist. Not physically, not supernaturally, not in any sort of a way. So hallelujah. You can be thankful for that. Now, one of the most, I think, this is wonderful, it's an appearance of refreshing, is in Matthew 11:28. And this is a very familiar portion to all of us, I know. We'll go over there, Matthew 11 and verse 28. This is Jesus. Come unto me, all you that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And again, this refreshing and rest are so, they're very closely knit. This rest includes the idea of quiet, calm, patient expectation. I mean, we're obviously excited with expectation to see the Lord, super excited. But there's a calmness to that in that just, again, you know the word of God is true. God cannot lie, cannot. So thankful for that. Because you know what you read in here, it's the truth. We know he's coming. The Lord Jesus is coming. Amen. Sooner every day. Every day is a day closer. Hallelujah. But you know, you think about this. There's no rest like Jesus gives. And he freely gives it. That's why he says, come, just come unto me. Just come on, come. I'll give you rest. You're worried, you're concerned. We're to cast our cares on him because he cares for us. And he cares so infinitely much for your soul. It's wonderful, wonderful to think of all of this. And I think so many times, again, of that banqueting table when he invites us to come unto him. He wants us to feed on him. He wants us to take in this word and be refreshed. And I, again, just so wonderful. You think about how the wife, his heart safely trusts in her. That's in Proverbs 31. You know, she's his chosen one. He can rest in her. But that only happens because she also rests in him. So it's mutual. It's not just one or the other. They both do. And what a glorious thought to think that we can, in a sense, be a rest for him. Wonderful. Just wonderful. Hallelujah. All right. There is a refreshing of the spirit of Titus by the saints. Let's go over to 2 Corinthians. I have a lot of scriptures here, but I think it's good to have a lot of scriptures in a Bible study. 2 Corinthians 7, 13. We'll pick it up in 13 here. It says, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. For if I have boasted in anything to him of you, I'm not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found a truth. And his inward affection is more abundant toward you, while he remembereth the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling you received him. I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. And I think about this here, the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. And again, you think about this, again, how we can refresh each other with sharing the word, with fellowshipping, with you know, sharing the joy that we have in Christ. This is so wonderful. And you think about this inward affection was more abundant as he remembered their obedience. When we're obedient to the word of God, there's such a huge, vast, rich harvest that we can have from that. And when you think about it, a hallmark of a readied wife, she's willing to be obedient to him. Christ was obedient even unto the death of the cross. And when you think about so many, I think about this so many times, I think even with a thought, he could have stopped it all. I don't even know that he would have had to have spoken anything. Mm-mm. Not even a thought. He saw the joy set before him. He patiently endured that. And we won't ever have to. One thing we will not ever experience is God looking away from you. That will never happen to a saved believer. His eye is actually, his eye is very focused on you. Very. Sometimes that's a convicting thing, but praise God. Again, that's part of the work of the Holy Spirit to convict us of things. We have opportunity to make things right This is like the dress rehearsal we talk about. You got to be ready now. Can't wait till you're over there to get ready and say, oops, that'd be too late. So we have a chance to be ready now to just let him do that work in our lives to make us ready. So wonderful. So wonderful. All right. Let's go over to Philemon. Philemon is a little book right before Hebrews. It's only 25 verses, just one chapter here. This is Paul writing to Philemon. He wrote of his dear friend Onesimus, who once was not profitable to Paul, if we'll remember that. I know pastor did a study here on this little letter, but he became very profitable to him. Philemon 1, verse 20. He says, yea, brother, let me have a joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. See, and you see how also joy and refreshing are tied together. Many times you've got rest, joy, abundance, refreshing, all of this. And I love this, joy and refreshing, rest and calm assurance. There's that foundation of assurance that then you can have joy because you know what you know. You know this word. It's in this inward part of you, Jesus in you. It's the word living in you. So we think about this. The bowels are the deepest, most inner part of us. It's like your heart of hearts, in a sense. It's a very deep part, one that is an intimate part. So when we have rest there, it's like we're in the bridal chamber. That's where that's at. You can think about, and again, even with the tabernacle or the temple, there was an outer court, an inner court, and then there was the Holy of Holies. That's the place where Jesus and his wife dwell. That ark, that mercy seat. So thankful. It's a mercy seat because it's mercy. That's just what it is. And those cherubim looking at that blood, just beyond what we can even hope to comprehend. But that's the fullness of everything. And that's that joy, just calm assurance with that. What rest we can have in Jesus, just rest, and how we can abound in joy in him too. Now, as we kind of wrap this up here a little bit, I think, you know, when I was looking through all this, I started with Acts 3:19 because that was talking about the refreshing and the presence of the Lord, and that was almost how the Lord put it in my mind when I was sending that text. But if we want to turn over to Romans 15. This is almost at the end of Paul's letter to the Romans. It's only one more chapter after it, chapter 16. But Romans 15 and verse 32. You got to turn a page here. Actually, almost the last verse here in chapter 15. Paul says, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God and may with you be refreshed. Now, this is wonderful and has huge bridal overtones. And again, he's almost at the conclusion of this letter to the Romans, beginning in verse 30, if we want to back up here just a little bit. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. That strive together means to fight valiantly, fervently alongside one another. You know, we fight a good fight of faith. And it's interesting, it says it's a good fight. And you know why it's good? Because without faith, you can't please God. Faith is a good thing, but it's a good fight of faith. It's not passive. Fight is fight, and we all know what it is. But again, there's a sense of just letting the Lord do the work in your life, just believing him. That's what faith is. Just believe him. I was thinking about how so many times in life, and even reading through the Old Testament all the way through the New, just the faithfulness of God. So many different ways. And interesting enough, even if something didn't turn out the way you thought it should, or something, he was faithful in that. And I think a lot of times as we go down the road a little bit and have a chance to look back, you can start to see the perfection in some things. It might take a little while, but you'll start to see it as things come to pass. And it's wonderful here. So the striving together, the good fight of faith, fight valiantly, fervently alongside one another. Amen. Amen. Now, in verse 31, he says that I may be delivered from them that do not believe in Judea, and that my service which I have for Jerusalem may be accepted of the saints. And then, of course, the verse 32, which we just read. He wants to come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. Now, this verse is wonderful. Only in this verse, the word refreshed means to take rest together as a husband and wife. So there you have it. Again, that's that bridal chamber. Take rest together to refresh one's spirit. There's, again, such a refreshing in this and wonderful. And this is God's will for us. He wants us to marry Jesus. Jesus wants to. We want to. So we're all in agreement on that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, it takes a willing husband and wife to do this. And thankful that God has turned our hearts towards this, blessed us mercifully by his grace to hear this message, to grow up into it together. It's more joyful to be together with people and do things, to me anyway. I get a lot of joy of having grown up here for about 15 years with you guys. The Lord had started us on a little journey of growing up in Christ a little before here, but how much more so? Wonderful. And again, it just keeps going and going and going. It never stops. So we can kind of see the summation, the fullness, all these definitions of refresh we've gone through tonight, which are quite a few. And again, this is kind of the summation of it when we dwell together with Jesus as his wife. That's the culmination of everything. So we get that cup of cold water when the heat of trials beat upon us and in us. When the fiery trials rage and threaten to swallow us. Think of that cup of cold water. How many times has that happened? It's happened a lot to me, and sometimes from very unexpected sources. I'm like, wow, that's God. And I'm always thankful to him. I'm like thankful that he moved on someone's heart and they were obedient. There's the obedient part. Hallelujah. We recover when we breathe of him. So we have this recovering of breath. We breathe of him. Just take him in. It's wonderful. You think about how he's such a lovely aroma. You know, we all have scents. It's amazing how that sense of smell is tied to memories, tied to so many things in your life. But nothing could surpass the scent of him. It's nothing. Think of your favorite, whatever it might be. He is just, well, he's altogether lovely. That's what he is. Thank you, Jesus. We find encouragement that revives us. And again, this is when we just turn and face Jesus. A lot of times the things that make us tired and weary is when we're looking at something else, starting to focus on something. Uh-oh. All of a sudden, it's overwhelming. It's, ugh. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Just look full in his wonderful face. The things of earth will go strangely dim. The light of his glory and grace. Hallelujah. Our hearts expand to receive more of his love and mercy and grace. So again, when we've recovered that breath, we can continue to expand. We're not exhausted. We're like resting, receiving of him. We have patient expectation and rest in the bridal chamber with our bridegroom. I would say dwell there as much as possible. It's a far better place to be than anywhere else. Even now, even as we are, call it sanctified imagination of that, but, you know, we're seated in the heavens. Amen? We're there. It's real in a sense, but Jesus is really what's real. He is way more real than any of this. Hallelujah. So, I hope this has been a blessing to you all. You know, when you just think about it's in Jesus that we live and move and have our being. It's in him. And he's put such a great calling and wonderful blessings on our life, just to receive more of him and to be refreshed in him. He wants that for you. So just receive that from him. All right? All right. Let's stand. And Sister Danae, can you just dismiss us, Sister?